Our first guest now in studio, the CEO and founder of Near Infinity, Chris D'Agostino. Welcome, Chris, to the Leader Spot.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Now, Near Infinity is a multi-million dollar software development company based in Northern Virginia and founded in 2002. Explain what your company provides for folks.
Well, Near Infinity is a software development firm that tries to be unique in three ways. First, in how we deliver solutions to our customers. Second, how we treat our employees. And third, how we give back to the community.
And your proposition is what for customers?
Very simply, we deliver great software fast. The company was founded with a single principle of making sure that we've got the top talent in software engineering and making sure that the way in which we deliver software provides the smallest teams possible, the lightest process in terms of how we collect requirements and implement those requirements and get software delivered as quickly as possible at the lowest cost.
And you founded this yourself?
Yes.
In 02, and you had one client. So that's how it started out. You started with one client, and you had worked for someone else and you went out on your own with this one client?
Yeah, I had worked for one of the large system integrators around the Beltway and had, as an engineer coming out of Virginia Tech, sort of struggled with the company not having as much of a focus as I would like it to have. And so in 2002, I saw an opportunity to build a company, you know, with its core focus of software engineering and enterprise web development. We've now evolved from developing web applications on Java platform to Ruby on Rails to the .NET platform, and now we're also doing some iPhone development.
And how have you decided kind of what areas of development to go into?
Well, I think enterprise computing is what we've always been passionate about, and so that limits a few, you know, in terms of modern web development. There were just a few candidate platforms in the last 7 to 8 years. That's obviously changing with some of the newer technologies that are coming out in cloud computing and some of the internet-based capabilities that are available from Amazon and Google. However, our focus, you know, was build enterprise web applications, do it in a secure manner. We our main customers are in the federal government, in the intelligence community, so we've got employees with high clearance levels. So the focus has been support those customers in the platforms that they have, which are, again, Java, Ruby on Rails, and .NET.
Your main customers are government?
Main customers are government. We do some Fortune 500 commercial consulting, but the primary revenue stream at this point is for federal government.
So you're a company, the companies who tend to have a number of federal clients tend to do okay in an economic climate of which we're entering in.
Yeah, I mean, the economy here is slightly insulated from the broader economy throughout the United States. However, we are cognizant of the fact that our customers need to streamline their projects and make sure that they're getting more value out of the projects that they have. And I think that that really speaks to our strengths because having been in this environment for 20 plus years and seen or been a part of a lot of government software engineering efforts, a lot of times those projects tend to throw a lot of people at the problem and hope that sort of the mass of people can help solve it. We take a very different approach over the last 7 years. We want to have as small a team as possible, staff that team with expert software engineers, and make sure that we speak directly to the end users to get the requirements for the software and then have those developers just go at it and build the software out. So in these economic times, we're, you know, certainly paying attention to costs and things like that. But the one advantage that I think we have is we do such a good job delivering software with such a small team that the project costs are very small relative to what you might see on other larger projects.
And all of your employees have ownership in the company?
Yes. So one of the goals when I started the company was to make sure that it was ownership was available to everybody in the company. It is really a company centered around the software engineers. And as I said before, traditionally the way you build software, a lot of the attention and focus centers around the project management and the collection of requirements and the actual art of developing the software is kind of a subordinate role. Near Infinity inverts that and puts the software engineers at the top of that sort of pyramid and says everything else is supporting that. Because in the end, the software that reaches the end user's desktop, it's the code that executes that makes the software work. And so in my view, it's most important to make sure the software engineers have what they need and can do their job as well as they can.
When you set out to start this company, were you trying to build it? Or was this supposed to be a one-man shop, or did you intend to grow this?
No, I intended to grow it. I formed it as a C corporation deliberately instead of an S corporation. And the goal was to start growing the business immediately, but it's a slow growth model. The thing that I wanted to make sure we did, having worked for a very large company before, which offered a wide array of services, again, those services, you know, almost anything you could imagine the company offered. I wanted something kind of taken from one of the books on your list of must-reads,
good to great.
Find something that you're passionate about and do an absolutely outstanding job of it. And so what I've wanted to do was from day one, find other people, sort of like-minded people, if you will, that are passionate about building software, are serious, love continuous learning, continually educate themselves, and make sure that Near Infinity is a good home for those people in terms of how we treat them with our benefits package and then the ownership capabilities.
And you were a finalist of the 2009 HR Helios Awards, which is a commitment to employee development.
Right. Yeah, I mean, from the beginning, we've invested a lot of money in the employees each year. I think it's really important to draw an analogy, to run the software engineering practice similar to a medical practice. I want our engineers to stay up to date with technology. I want them to stay ahead of the curve compared to our competitors. And so what we have done is put in place a really ambitious program. It's called NICU. It's sort of intensive care for your brain or for your mind. And the goal is to continually educate our existing employees, provide a platform to bring on new employees and interns through some partnerships with local universities, and get those developers groomed and sort of molded into what we're looking for. Employees go to choose conferences of their choice each year. They have book budgets that allow them to buy the technical books that they need or software that they need. Each month, we have technical presentations that are done in-house at our company meetings. So we're doing everything we can to make sure our folks stay up to date.
Excellent. And so culture, this kind of ties into what you were just saying, but you're into this emphasis on culture.
Yeah,
at your company.
So
you have a soccer team and a volleyball team?
We do. We try to stay stay in shape as much as possible for a bunch of software engineers. But the company is, you know, one of the goals is to work really hard, but have a good time as well. Not only really enjoy the work that you do, but then have that small business feel about us, small company feel. So we've got plenty of people that are interested in soccer, volleyball, running. We've got, you know, as you said, teams that do that. We have monthly gatherings and trying to have happy hours and things like that just to keep, you know, the company feeling close-knit.
And what's your overall leadership philosophy?
Well, I think From starting the company till now, it hasn't changed. We're really looking for people with passion for developing software who have a real talent for it. Our hiring process is very rigorous, and we're looking, you know, we really look for people that are just really gifted at software engineering. And my goal is to make sure that the engineers have all the resources that they need, get to work on challenging projects, but are also held accountable for delivering successful software to their customers.
Are you getting better at hiring over time?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've, I look at it in two ways. One, the types of people we bring on board, and then whether or not we're retaining them. And a really good statistic for us is in the last 6 years, not a single software engineer has quit the company. So we're in an environment where we've got employees with very high skill set, a high security clearance, and a challenge for a small company, of course, is to keep projects flowing into the company that continue to challenge and excite our employees. So the fact that we've not lost a single engineer in the last 6 years is, I think, a good testament.
That's a great award. Great. Congratulations. We're speaking with the CEO of Near Infinity, Chris D'Agostino. Now, give me a leadership dilemma that you faced in your kind of experience and how you've managed that.
Well, I think growth in any company is a challenge, and for a small business, it's particularly hard because when you start out a company and you've got five employees, those first five employees have a very different view of the company as it grows. And, you know, as you bring on more talent, I think the challenge is how do you make the people coming into the company feel welcome and feel like they're part of the organization and are contributors to the company and are valued, compared to how do you keep those people who were there early on feeling like this is still a company that they kind of helped found and start, and as it grows up, does it still look and feel the same to them or as much as possible? So that's been a challenge, and I think where my leadership has come in is trying to make sure that the people we hire are similar enough in their skill sets and have something to offer the older employees, the employees that have been there for a while, so that everybody feels like they continue to learn.
We're here in studio with the CEO of Near Infinity, Chris D'Agostino. Chris, we're going to continue our conversation after this break on The Leader's Spot.
The Leader's Spot with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at theleaderspot.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
You're listening to the Leader Spot audio cast on theleaderspot.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the CEO of Near Infinity, Chris D'Agostino. Chris, we were talking a little bit before the break about your company. It's a multi-million dollar software development company based in Northern Virginia, founded in 2002, 10 million plus revenues. And Chris, you were talking about how your clients are Fortune 500 to the U.S. intelligence community. And you're going through this phase of growth, which is not that common for current companies right now with this economic climate.
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate again. I think, you know, since we've been a slow growth company from the beginning and our focus is so heavily on making sure that the customers are getting software delivered to them quickly, they're seeing those results. And through just organic growth, they've been asking for more support from us. So while, again, in this economy, we're very conscious of cost and making sure we're staying competitive from a cost standpoint, we've been fortunate our customers are asking for more support.
So what is your kind of extensive growth plan look like? Or are you figuring this out?
Well, we're still figuring it out. We definitely want to create more opportunities for engineers as for their career path and be able to start to manage projects on their own. We've got plenty of engineers that are interested in doing that. However, we still have a lot of engineers that 20 years from now, they want to still be writing code. One of the things that we're really excited about is we have an employee who's in his 60s and he writes code every single day and he loves it. He's been with companies that have tried to force him into a management track and just didn't want to do that. And Near Infinity has been a nice home for him to be able to focus on writing code. So we've got a mix of employees. I think growth wise over the next few years, we're looking to keep the pace that we're going at, which is about 7 to 10 employees per year. And then, the upper limit we'll see. I think as long as we continue to deliver software the way we have been in the past, and I think as long as the employees are feeling like the things that they value are being delivered to them by the company and it still feels like a small company as best it can, I think we'll be doing a good job.
And you also make it a priority. We talked about clients, customers now, and now the third piece is community. And you're building robots, I hear. What's this about?
Yeah, you read the statistics about the lack of children going through math and science programs in high school and in college and coming out with engineering degrees. And so with a company of about 50 people and very, highly skilled folks with master's degrees in computer science and things like that, I thought it was a good opportunity for us to provide some mentoring to kids that are at risk in terms of math and science. And so we're working with the Equal Footing Foundation and Fairfax County to help kids with the Bot Ball tournament. So basically programming a robot and, using the C language to program the robot. And there's a competition coming up in April. So we're excited about that.
Excellent. Now, part of your leadership story is that you were raised by a single mom and there were seven of you.
That's right. Five boys and two girls.
What was that experience like?
You learn to be scrappy, I guess, a little bit. I'm number six of seven. And so, my mother worked very, very hard. She had a full-time job with the U.S. government and then had a part-time job in the evenings. And so I think she really kind of set the bar for what my work ethic should be and have a lot of respect for her in doing that. And, I've got a lot of really good and bad examples of what works and what doesn't work with five siblings ahead of me. So I grew up learning that hard work and education were really critical. And so I just set my sights on, kind of getting my bachelor's degree, getting my master's degree. And then I think with what I learned at Virginia Tech, I had the confidence to try and start a company and take it from there.
It was like you learned from your single mom who was a CEO. You learn how to be a CEO from that, right?
Yeah. Well,
the management.
You definitely need to learn how to manage and you know, deal with the HR issues. And so we've got plenty of those.
Were you one of the bad employees out of the seven kids, or were you one of the good employees?
You know, my siblings tease me that I was one of the good employees, I guess. But they don't know everything I did. So.
And you're married now
and
have a couple kids, kids now.
Two kids. Nicholas is 5 and Aiden is 3. So between running a company and trying to be a good father, it keeps me pretty busy.
Excellent, excellent. We're speaking with the CEO of Near Infinity, Chris D'Agostino. And Chris, I also hear that if you had not done software, you know, done a software development company, you would have been hopefully on a professional soccer team. Is that correct?
That would have been my alternative dream, yes. Or maybe even my primary dream, depending on the day of the week. Yeah, I mean, I've been playing soccer since I was 6 years old and played in college for a bit. Timing in the United States wasn't there when I was coming out of college. MLS was sort of just getting started. Not that I would have made it to the MLS, but it definitely is one of my loves that I didn't get a chance to pursue.
Maybe you can grow this company, sponsor a team, then own a team, soccer team, and that's
play for it as a 60-year-old.
And then play for, yeah.
Left fullback, yeah. Sounds great.
Well, thanks, Chris. We really appreciate having you on the Leader Spot today. And
thank you,
best of luck with Near Infinity.
Appreciate it. Thank you.